You're listening to Earful of Queer on CFRU 93.3 FM in Guelph. This is the second part of a two-part interview with Alicia Lim. In this part of the interview, Shabina and Carly chat with Alicia about their band The Sex Appeals, Extra's refusal to use Alicia's preferred pronoun they, and their plans for the summer.
Do you want to talk about The Sex Appeals? And
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
The Sex Appeals.
Y'all were so glam. So glam.
Oh, yeah. Oh, man. We were so shy that day. Could you tell? Because, like, we were like, can you hear us?
Yeah. I'm also a total, like, super shy person. So I was just, like, quietly reading all of the pictures.
Oh, that's so nice. Oh, that's so nice. That's really nice. I hope that it was, like, yeah, kind of a nice escape for, like, anybody with social anxiety to have things on the wall. Because that was, like, oh, man, that was a hardcore hipster scene, eh?
Yeah, totally. It was kind of overwhelming.
No, kidding. I first walked in. They told me I should come late and make a fashionable entrance. But, oh, my God, it was not fashionable at all. I almost threw up when I saw all these fancy people. Oh, my God. Yeah, I tried to leave.
There were so many babes. So many babes there.
Yeah. In fancy outfits. Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice. Small city queers in the big city.
Oh, boy.
I'm actually leaving the Toronto queer scene. I'm, oh, man, guys, I'm passing a dam. What dam is this? Super pretty. Okay, so, yeah, I'm leaving. Feels, and I'm really sad about it. I'm moving to Montreal. Yeah. Oh, man, I'm kind of missing so much. So I've decided to start a new band.
Sweet.
It's Callous and Fickle. But, yeah, what do you think if I start a band called Leopard Prince, but, like, Prince, like, P-R-I-N-C-E?
P-R-I... Oh, yeah, that'd be good. I'd be stoked on that.
Maybe. I don't know. Or I also wanted to have, like, a francophone name and be, like, Jane Kitsiofa. But my friend says that is a super nerdy way to say I have a crush on you.
Wait, say that again in French?
Jane Kitsiofa.
Oh, yeah!
Oh, my God. Oh, my God, would that be so cute? Oh, my God.
I always wanted to have a crust, like, a crust punk band called, like, Hot Crust Buns. I thought that'd be good.
Oh, my God.
I think it's pretty gay. I thought that's great.
That's incredible. Oh, I really hope you do that.
I feel like I've been putting off this punk band for a long time.
Oh, that's amazing. Amazing. But what can I say about The Sex Appeals? So super proud of them. It's all made of queers of color. Most of them are mixed. And not that that matters, but... And we, yeah, we write all of our lyrics together, and it's so freaking catchy. I'm so proud of them. And there's, like, yeah, there's a song called On the Fence. That's one of my favorites. Sarah Cregan wrote the lyrics for it. And it goes, I hate you, Queen Street West. Homo, you know where I am. I'm in no man's land. Life kind of sucks when you can't decide which side of the fence you're on. One for butches and one for femmes. Why should I have to choose? Yes! So cute.
Yeah, so cute.
Yeah, I don't know if you remember, Carly, at FAG, I was trying to be all, like, let's have a rock show and have fun together, and I was like, who here is a butch? And everyone was like, I'm not raising my hand, I'm an artist.
Really? That happened?
Highly unexcited crowd, but very, very fancy. Our band also played at the AGO, at the Art Gallery of Ontario.
Sweet.
So we feel really fancy.
Well, you looked pretty fancy.
Oh, nice. Yeah, we were at the AGO and we sang, I want to suck your cock, like, really loudly and, like, reverberated all around the gallery.
Yes.
It was awesome.
What are you guys playing next?
When? Oh, man. Oh, well, we're going to play Pride. We're going to play, like, the indoor stage of Pride in Toronto. And we're hoping to play a show with Sarah Mangle sometime.
Yeah.
And, and I really want to bring them over to Montreal for Versité, which is like the alternative pride.
Yeah, I went last year. It's pretty sweet.
Oh, nice. Nice. Yeah, so I hope we can manage to stay together. Oh, sheep. Passing sheep.
So, something that we wanted to talk to you about, because, I don't know, I'm pretty interested in, I'd gotten the Facebook invite to the petition against Extra for not using the pronoun they for you, and I'm wondering about, like, if you want to talk about their refusal to use that pronoun and your experience with it.
So, yeah, so that was, like, an amazing phenomenon, hard to even get my head around. I didn't expect it to get so big, but, so I sat down for an interview with, I feel like I should say this reporter was, like, a very good listener and a good writer, and I don't want this to reflect on his writing or even on him personally at all. So he was writing an article about me, and I said I prefer the pronoun they, and he was kind of like, well, we don't use that, which, like, astonished me. Oh my god, guys, another shredded Canadian flag. What the? That was weird. Okay, sorry. So he was like, yeah, no, we don't use that. He was like, once I tried to write an article about a band, and it wasn't clear if I was talking about, like, one of the people's pronouns or the whole band, and it doesn't work in journalism. And I was, like, on the spot. I was, like, the most inarticulate person ever. I was a wasted, terrible trans ally. I was like, but it's trendy right now.
Oh, that's
so tragic. I know. I was like, you can't argue with popular. Brutal. Anyway, so, but he was like, no, we're not going to use that. We're just not going to. And so, yeah, I was like, I didn't know what to say, but I left and I got really angry naturally, irate in retrospect. So, I phoned around and found out that some other people had also had the same problem. So I first put it on as just, like, my status, and so many people commented that I thought I'd make it a petition. And so I made, like, an event, and I emailed Extra, too. I emailed two of the editors as well as the writer, and I was like, I'm starting a petition. I insist that you use they. And so the petition went up, and, like, by the next morning, yeah, like, 12 hours had passed, and there were, like, 900 names on it. I've never seen an event with, I've seen one event with 900 people on it for Angela Davis speaking, but, yeah, I was astounded, like, in 12 hours. And I'm actually curious to know how how you guys got invited. Like, I don't understand how something moved that fast. I would be on, for the rest of that week, too, I'd be on Facebook, and my notifications were just, like, constant. It was amazing. But, so Extra sent me quite a long, disappointed email. They were like, we feel like you've misquoted us, and, like, this is really, like, publicly embarrassing. And the really unfortunate thing is that, like, in your title, which is true, you said, please don't call me she, but we would never call you she. So that's really, like, a misquote. And we want you to take it down and to apologize publicly. And so, I wrote to the smartest person in America, which is my sister, Taya. Huh? And I said, what did I do? and she said, oh, that's really easy. You haven't done anything wrong, because aren't they still refusing to use they? And it's true. They were still refusing. So she was like, so you keep that petition up, and you write to them, and you tell them, okay, guys, I offer to write you an expose, a big-ass article about how all of this went down. And I'm going to talk about how you refuse to use they, and all the research I've done, and all the people who still don't get to use they in your newspaper, and we'll call it a day. Mm-hmm. So genius. What a genius. Oh, my God. So that's what I did. And they wrote back very quickly, and they said, no thanks, we'll pass. So that was the end of that.
That's brutal.
Yeah.
Yeah, but to this point, there's 1,300 signatures from, like, lots of different places in the world. And, people have said to me, and I feel the same way, that, like, yeah, it's just so heartening. Like, we were never really avid extra readers anyway, but now we feel like, yeah, the word they is, like, not embarrassing to ask for. So many people have your back.
Yeah. It's interesting, too, though, because they published that article about my Kiki and, like, using the pronoun they.
I mentioned that I was, like, don't let what happened to my Kiki happen to me, because they, like, they put the pronoun they in quotation marks and really, like, kind of almost mocked it, but just kind of, like, made a real sort of lip service thing out of it. And then for the rest of the article, which is what they said there, and they did with me in the end, they introduced it by saying that I prefer they, and then they just used my last name for the rest of the article. But I feel, yeah, like, I know that some people will actually ask for that as their pronoun choice, which is, like, just use my last name, and that's not my choice. Like,
yeah.
My choice is they, so use it. Yeah. Yeah. What did you guys think? How did you get that invitation?
Somebody over Facebook sent it to me, and I was like, what? Really? That's really extra? Oh, God. I'm not feeling that great about extra these days anyways in terms of certain things. And then I read that, and I was really frustrated. I was like, really? Like, come on. Really? Like,
it's not even hard. And it's just like, I don't know. It's not a huge surprise, but it's also like,
I thought I could be surprised here and there. Like, I thought maybe, just maybe, there'd be, like, a little glimpse of hope or something, that I'd be stoked on it or something. But once in a while, I have something all right, and that's exciting to me. But
yeah.
I don't know.
We just need more rad queers making our own media.
Yeah. Not relying on extra.
Oh, yeah. Like, earful of queer. Well, actually, like, I would like to ask, lots of people, like, why was this petition so successful?
I don't know. Yeah. Like, if it's just something that, like, folks are talking a lot more about right now, like.
Yeah, maybe. Like, it's beginning to accumulate some kind of cold mass or something. But, yeah, it was astonishing. I feel like I want to offer this event to be, like, research material for someone's fourth-year paper or something. Like, it's amazing. There's so much support.
I feel like, too, I don't know, like, queer's already pretty, like, you know, anybody that has one of those determining factors that means you have, like, less privilege within society, like, I feel like me as a queer, like, I want to hope that, like, I will be taken as I am in, like, queer communities or, like, gay and lesbian communities or, like, communities of mixed-race people or people of color. But I find that when you do get let down, it's a lot more, like, even, like, enraging in a lot of ways, because it's not the group of people that I often associate with the most privileged. Like, it's a group that I'm like, you already know what it feels like to feel like shit because of so-and-so and this and that, like, because you have this factor that means you have less privilege within society, why don't you understand this is where I'm coming from? And I find that that's, like, really hard to, like, I forget that happens, because I just, like, assume that, you know, oh, you're not, like, this white male or whatever, like, you do.
Yeah.
You're not, like, this white middle-class male, so I get more surprised, and I don't know why I still do feel that way, because it...
And it hurts more.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe that's why people reacted so strongly, too. I was invited to write a comic for a magazine in the States called Wellesley Women's Magazine, and I'm just in the middle of doing that, and I'm very happy to be writing for them. It's really nice to be well paid for a comic, and I appreciate employers like that. But it's been a real struggle with the content, because I was talking about various things, from transmisogyny to rejecting gender binary, and they've been in the process of his film. They keep writing back and saying, like, we're really sorry, but our readers are just not going to get this. And there's, like, insider sort of knowledge and outsider knowledge, and it'll be better if you just stick to, just don't talk about this stuff. Like, talk about, you know, your book. And it's frustrating. Like, this is a great magazine. It's a feminist magazine. It's a hardcore feminist magazine. They talk about, like, anti-racism and really cool stuff. But yeah, like, I don't know, some sort of, like, the queer community, we're light years ahead. Yeah. Uh-huh. Folks can't keep up. Even our own media can't keep up.
Yeah, apparently.
Yeah. It's bittersweet.
Now for the most exciting question! Bum, 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 bum. What are your plans for this summer?
Yay! Well, I hope that your listeners and or you are thinking about making a trip to Montreal, because there's so many cool, like, queer and artsy things and DIY things that happen there. So I'm going to be at the Anarchist Book Fair, and there's an event called Queer Between the Covers.
Yeah, sweet.
Oh,
we'll both
yeah.
be at the book fair. Tabling. You can come see our tables.
The Anarchist one?
Oh, yeah.
Yay! So will I! Woo! Oh, this is perfect then. Okay, I was going to ask you guys, I'm going to do my lazy market research with you. Okay, so which of these ideas would you most like me to be selling at my table? So I have five. The first one is a zine about how hard polyamory is, and it'll be called Polyamor Rage.
That's a good name. I want to read that.
Ding, ding, ding. So you think I should do it? Yeah.
Yeah.
People have been into that name, which is so telling and cute, somehow endearing to me. But and the second one was smash cookies. So they're going to be cookies that say things like smash the patriarchy, smash racism. I was like, either I'll do those or just cookies in the shapes of breasts. I can't decide one or the other. Oh, this one is Coco's idea. My partner Coco and I are sharing this table. And they had this idea of making first aid love kits. And they have things inside of them, like egg timers for your fights. Like, you have to stop talking when the egg timer runs out. So cute. Oh, man. So that's a love kit. And then there's this scene about, I've already written this. I did it for Extra, actually. It's called Sweetest Taboo, and it's all about 80s pop culture and how, like, it made me the queer that I am. And then the last one was fanzines about those, like, queer idols, like Atreyu. I want to have an entire zine about Atreyu and, like, all the people that he, like, inspired. People try to look like him, and, oh, my God, Atreyu. Oh, my God. Or the other one is Rufio. Rufio!
Rufio?
Like, these genderqueer men of color. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. And, yeah. So it sounds like the highest hit is Polyamor Rage. Is that true?
I feel like I'd be pretty stoked on coming across that.
Yeah.
I would totally pick that up.
Bazing. I'm putting it down. It's number one.
I feel like folks would be pretty stoked on the smash cookies, too.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I'll do a trade with your table.
Okay.
That's so cool. So we're doing the same thing this summer. It's pretty exciting.
Yeah, hanging out at the book fairs.
Yeah.
In the sunshine with some popsicles and a 40.
Oh, yeah. Oh, man. Oh, yeah, and Pavelski. Gotta go to that, too. Go to that.
See the babes? Oh, man.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It's good. Like, import and export babes, you know? Like, babes you don't know. It's pretty amazing. That reminds me. Okay, what do you think of another idea for my table? I'm thinking at the Anarchist Book Fair, this might be like a giant flop. But Coco and I are thinking of promoting our new movement. Our new movement, which is a super hardcore, hot, radical monogamy. We don't know how far we're going to go without getting beat up by the Anarchist Book Fair. So if we sell, like, big-ass, hot, you know, radical, hardcore monogamy stickers, you think you would buy 20?
I might buy one.
Yeah, that's right. You can only buy one. We don't share.
I'm personally into.
What do you want two for? Why do you want two?
But I can see your point. Like, I feel like polyamory gets held up on this, like, pedestal of, like, radicalness. And people are like, oh, you're monogamous.
I know, right?
You lose anarchist points and queer points.
We're going to get punched in the face. Okay, I got it. New stickers. They'll say, cruising for a snuggle.
Oh, that's really cute.
I think that's amazing.
I might buy 20 of those.
I would totally buy 20 of those. I'm really into snuggling.
Okay, noted. Okay. This is amazing market research.
Do you want to hear my new idea about what should be the new upcoming queer movement thing?
Yeah.
It's called a glamberjack. Glamorous lumberjacks. Oh, yeah.
Well, that's a fantastic word.
I know, I can't take credit for it. I know it was somebody else who made it up, but I'm really stoked on it. Be like, you know, man. Short shorts and chainsaws, dogs with like diamond studded collars and like,
wow,
that kind of stuff. I was like, I just got my hunting, I did my Hunter's Ed course, and I saw this book that we had to have with it. The people on the front were like full out camo but with mascara. I was like, oh, yeah. Yes. This is what we need.
Whoa, amazing. I know that some people talk about the appropriation of working class culture by queers. Do you think the lumberjack will run into any problems in that regard?
Ideally not. I feel like I like playing in the woods. I like building things. And I think chopping wood's really fun. So I think my wanting for it is just to encourage people to learn how to do things with wood and have fun and be queer. So not so much I think trucks are really badass. And I think that, like, some, like, of the music that I really like is pretty cool. But I'm not into, you know, like, a full-on thing that's just based on appropriating somebody else's, like, working class life. I don't know. Actually, now that you're on the topic, do you have any, like, resources or, like, things that people have written about queer folks appropriating, like, working class, like, communities at all?
Eli Clare's book talks about it quite a bit. Yeah, it's called Exile and Pride, his book, and he talks about it quite a lot because he, grew up working class in the country and,
yeah. Yeah, I was really stoked when I read that book because I also grew up working class in the country, and I feel like a lot of the queer books I'd read before that were written by city folks, and there's always, like, a lot of culture stuff that I couldn't relate to. So when I read that, I was like, yes, you get these things. And that was really exciting for me. Do you have other projects you're excited about for the summer?
Actually, this one's kind of exciting. It's kind of, I don't know, maybe it's kind of like polyamory rage in a way already. But do you know there's this rad blog called No More Potlucks?
Oh, yeah.
It's very pretty. I've been submitting a monthly comic to them. And and they're hosting my new comic, which is called The Ten Lovers. I'm excited about that. And it's the, like, ten lovers that I've been super jealous of. sounds grim, but I swear it's worthwhile. But, yeah, it's about, yeah, like, I guess my lover's lovers. And, yeah, how I kind of, like, grappled with my jealousy. And I think there's going to be an amazing twist at the end. Yeah.
Sweet.
Yeah. So there's that. Oh, and there's a... I'm really excited about this book that I'm working on with Coco. Oh, man. Let me just shout out Coco Riot. They just published the first ever book in Spanish that talks about, like, queer and trans language. Yeah, they did this tour of Spain, and, yeah, it was, like, kind of groundbreaking over there. I'm really proud of them. But, yeah, so they're an artist that I super admire, as well as have a major crush on.
But, yeah.
And, and we're going to put out a book about all the sort of, like, you know how no matter where you go in the world, there's something a little familiar about the queer scene? You'd be like, I kind of have met your type before. You're just like my Carly back home or something. You're like the Spanish Carly or I don't know. But, but yeah, so we're making a book about the map of our queer scene and who's in it and the houses that we love and stuff. And putting it all together into, like, a little map book. And I think it'll be nice. I'm not very good at describing that one. Yeah. I think it'll be nice. I'll say that. I'm very excited about it. Yeah. Let me think. What am I missing?
I'm stoked that you're writing about polyamory and stuff, like, for reasons I was talking about before, like, it being held on this, like, radical pedestal or something, and... I feel like it needs to be talked about a lot more in a, like, realistic way and, like, from people's experiences and stuff.
Totally. Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah, Coco was saying how in the book we should talk about all the, like, not just our people in our scenes, but also all the social pressures that you have when you're in the scene, and that totally fits.
Yeah. Yeah, totally.
Yeah, they're going to make a t-shirt that says, weird thoughts of kissing. That's what it's all about.
That's also very cute.
Yeah.
Oh, this is the funnest interview I've done in a long time.
Totally.
All right. Oh, we gotta tone this down. Let's talk about intersectionality. Do you think that if I made a cookie that said smash curiarchy, people would be like, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
Amazing. My sister says, it's not the patriarchy that you're against, Alicia. It's the curiarchy. I was like, oh, I have to look that up.
What is that anyway?
Yeah.
I said, because I didn't know what the hell it meant.
Oh, man. Is there a good online explanation? Let me see. Because I know I'm going to get it wrong. Oh, man. Oh, yeah. Oh, God. This is this really complex Wikipedia entry about it. Oh, man. I don't know. Okay, so here it says that it's... it's like a combination. So, yeah, sometimes patriarchy isn't enough because you might have an intersection where, like, there's a poor displaced man of color trying to get a job from a middle class able-bodied white woman. So in that case, you know, where is the oppression exactly? So instead of simply patriarchy, curiarchy is like an intersection of privileges.
Cool. Yeah. That's cool. How do you spell that?
K-Y-R-I-A-R-C-H-Y. And it comes from the word lord and master. Whoa.
Huh. I've definitely never heard that term before.
Yeah, I don't think those cookies are gonna go fast.
But it might get people asking questions, which would be cool.
Yeah, maybe. Anarchist Book Fair. People are full of questions.
Yeah.
That could be good. Yeah. Whatever it is, you should eat it. Yeah. Take a bite. Crunch, crunch.
Sweet. Well, it's been really awesome chatting with you. I'm really stoked.
Oh, man, this bus ride's going to be so lonely without you guys.